Okay, today's daf is Shkalim daf Hey, and we are on Dalet Amud Beis, second to last line on Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, so we are Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that there is an inverse relationship. Oh, just one ha'ara. Somebody told me last night I was at a wedding. Maybe another reason why Shkalim we do Yerushalmi. Right, we mentioned various reasons. Maybe because it's the only one in Seder Moe that doesn't have a Gemara, so we do Yerushalmi anyway. Or the Pashas, the most simple reason, which is probably the emes, is that for some reason the Vilna Shas editors put it into the Vilna Shas 350 years ago, whenever it was. So that's what made it. That's why Meir Shapiro decided, because they put it into the Vilna Shas. That's what it made it. So he said maybe it's because the message of Shkala Machza Shekel is Achdus, and everybody should be together and equal. So everybody should be so Shkala brings everybody. Yerushalmi, Bavli, everybody comes together. I said okay. I'll mention it, and that's another additional point. Okay, I don't think it's the MS, but it's a nice hashkafic idea. It's MS on some level, let's say. So we get back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that there's an inverse relationship between Meiser Behema and Kelbone. Kelbone was the added amount that you need to be mosif to the Machzaz HaShekel. We had a Machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Meir hold that was in Din Da'oraisa. Chiyav Da'oraisa to add on, based on the pasuk of Zeh Yitnu, Zeh is Gematria 12, all 12 Shvatim have to give, Zeh Yitnu, and that's the Makar also for all of the Shvatim to give. And the Rabbanan hold, no, it's a Din Da'Rabbanan, because of the expense of the money changers, and therefore you don't have to add on for every one. If you have two, you only have to give one. V'chulu. Well, we mentioned that there's an inverse relationship between the kelbone and Meiser Behema, because Meiser Behema is not given by partners or given by lakuach, right? By if you buy the behemos that are chayavas and Meiser. That's the rule by Meiser Behema. Kelbone is only given if you give your own kelbone. But if you give on somebody else's behalf, so then the Mishnah said you do not have to give a kelbone. So we said the Mishnah has opposite cases. The Mishnah says if you have a case of tfusas habayis, as it's called, the estate. You have an estate that is being yarshin, that is being inherited by children. So it depends. If they did not split up the estate yet, and there's just property there, so then they are putter from kelbone, because it's as if the father is giving on their behalf, the dead father, because it's his estate, they're putter from Kelvo, but they're b'chayv and Meiser Behema, because they are one singular unit. They're not partners, they're not buyers, v'chulu. But if the brothers already split it up and then became partners, so at that point they are chayv and kelbon, because they're giving their own machzaz shekel, while they'll be pturos from Meiser Behema. It's been a few months, so I'll mention it again. Rav Palm's wonderful thought about Meiser Behema, which we always like to say, and that is, you know, you have to give 10%. Why don't you just count down and give 10% of the animals? You have to go through the trouble, as the Mishnayos describe, 1, 2, 3, put in through the little fence, and then every 10th, you know, mark off with a stick with a little red paint. Much easier, just count up all your animals and give 10%. Says Rav Palm, it's a very hard halacha to give 10% of your animals. The idea of 10% of your money, that is Meiser Ksafim, that's not a Din D'Oraisa. There are a few individual das yechidim in the Rishonim that say it's a din d'oraisa based on the pasuk of Aser Ta'aser, but pashas we do not hold that way. Rov Rishonim assume it's not even a din d'rabanan; it's a minhag tov. A minhag tov. That's meiser ksafim. Meiser behema though is a din d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa at the end of Sefer Vayikra. Says Rav Palm, why do you have to do it in such a way? Says Rav Palm, because it's a little difficult. Not just a little difficult. 10%. I have 100 animals. I have to give 10. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us how to do it. 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 9 for me. Okay, 1 for Kadosh Baruch Hu. 1 for me. You count down 9. Don't focus on the 10 that you give. Focus on the 90% that you keep. That way, it'll be a little easier to fulfill this mitzvah. We find, you know, various mitzvahs are done in certain ways, or even formulated in certain ways, that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly that it's hard. We mentioned in the mitzvah shiur recently, the mitzvah of Shemitas Ksafim, of letting your loans, you know, go. Why is that only mentioned in Re'eh and not mentioned earlier in the Torah? Shemitah is mentioned in Bahar, Shemitah is mentioned earlier. Shemitah's Ksafim only comes up in Sefer Dvarim, in Re'eh. Says number two, why is it only Lebasof? Why is Shemitah's Ksafim only forgives the loans at the end of Shemitah and not at the beginning of Shemitah? All halacha of the Shemitah start at the beginning. Right, Shemitah's Karka starts at the beginning. So why should we discuss him at the end? Explains Rav Sarutzkin, explains the Zayin LaTorah, who B'ez Hashem will make an appearance tonight as well in the Parsha Shir, feel free, 8:45. says the Ozayin LaTorah, because you know Shemitah is very hard. The Medrash even calls people who keep Shemitah Gibore Koach Osei Dvaro. They have to be very strong to let somebody like have free rein on your bank account, because that's what it was in the days of old when we had an agricultural society, right? Everything's free. Go whatever you want. Whatever you want to take. It's very hard. The Torah understands that. That's why the Torah has to promise you a special bracha if you keep Shemitah. But also, that's why Shemitah's Ksafim, you can't do both at the same time. Money that you're owed, you're not going to get paid back. Rosh Ruskin says, first of all, the Torah doesn't say it even until later. As if to say, you don't have to know about this now. Just digest Shemitah's Karka. And we'll tell you about Shemitah's Ksafim. And you know what? When does Shemitah's Ksafim apply? It's going to apply at the end of the year. Meaning, when you're about to go back to your land, and you're going to be able to start working it, because to have this at the beginning also, it's going to be too hard. So it's not even formulated originally. And even when it's said, we know, Shemitah's Karkas, Shemitah's Ksafim is only Mishame Lubasof, you write the Prizbol, at the end of the year, not at the beginning, says the Zayim Latar, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu understands. So you can put that with Rav Pam's Vart on Meiser Behema. Kodesh Baruch Hu understands that he tries to make it easier for us. Okay, so either way, we have this inverse relationship between Kelbone and Meiser Behema. Says the Gemara, second to last line, Rebbe Chiya Amar Rebbe Yirmiya, Boy, V'lama Les Nan Amrin, Pa'amim Sheikhein Chayavin Bazeo Bazeh? Why did the Mishnah only say cases with this inverse, one yes, one no? I could come up with a case where you're Chayavin both, U'Pa'amim Shein Peturin, Mizeo Mizeh, and I could come up with a case that you're Pater from both. Hey Chavita, how is that? How could you be pater from both and chayv in both? So skip the parentheses. Hanachasim lo chilku hanachasim v'lo chilku habehema. What happens if the brothers split up all of their assets except for the animals? So their money, all their assets are split, but the animals are not split. So in that case, chayav and bazeh bazeh, be chayv in both. Why? Because the properties are split. So regarding machzah shekel, it's as if they're giving their own. Because the money is all split. That's what you're chayav in kelbone. But regarding the animals, it's still like their father's. So it's not, it wasn't bought. Split up and then brought together, which would be like lekuchos. And it wasn't shutfin, right? Because it's still the father's. And therefore you'd be chayav in Meiser Behema as well. And the opposite case, cholku abehema v'lo cholku asad achasim. What if they split up all the animals of the father, but they did not split up the rest of the properly? So patur bizeo mizeo, be pater for both. Why? They split up the animals, that's why they're pater for Meiser Behema. Because it's as if they split it up and then they became partners again. The Lekucho Shutfin are Pater. And Machza Shekel, what does it say? They didn't split up the Nechasim. So it's as if the father is giving the Machza Shekel on their behalf. That's why there's not going to be any Kelbone. So that's what the Gemara says. There is a way to say not only that it is inverse, but there's a case where you're Chayv in both and Pater in both. Amar Rebbe Mina, Hadad Da'at, when do you say all this is true? Hadad Da'at Amar, when do you say, this is going back really on the first case, when do you say that when you split up the property and not the animals, that's a case where you'd be chayiv in both? Bishalo ha'isa ha'behema rov. That's only when the animals are not rov, meaning the part that you did not split up is not rov. Avalam ha'isa ha'behema rov. But if the animals are rov and you did not split up the animals, meaning the father was a horseman, right? He had horses. That's what he did. So most of his assets are horses, and you did not split up the horses. So then even the other assets are pulled after that. Hain ikar nechasim. Those are the ikar nechasim, and it is considered as if the money also is not split up, and you would be putter from kelbone in that case, right? Only if the assets are the rove. So that's when you would say that the animals are balei chayim. They wouldn't be batel to the assets, but the other just money they have lying around would be batel to the animals. Let's continue for a little bit, and then we'll make a comment about Rove. Rebbe Avin, Amar Rebbe Shami, Boi, Mipnesha Asiten Ka'adam Echad Eitzel Meiser Behema, At Potro Min HaKelbone. Since you consider, let's say it was not split up, you consider it as if it's all owned by the father, and therefore, you would say that they're Chayiv and Meiser Behema. You would go and say they're also Pater from Kelbone, meaning you would say this, not literal, but this, you know, Ki'ilu, the father is still alive regarding Meiser Behema. L'chumra, you really would say that L'kula too? And say that they wouldn't be Chayiv and Kelbone? Because it's as if the father is doing it? Really? Would you go that far? So Amrle, the answer is yes. Lo Shani, Shehu Nosin Sela Echad Shlema. Yes, and as the Tiklin Chatan explains, you go l'chumer or l'kula. This is called tfusas abayis. It's called the father is giving on behalf of the children, and therefore you'd be even mako. It's not a suffix. We're not sure what to do, and therefore you just go l'kula, you just go l'chumer on both sides. No, din vadai. Tfusas abayis has the status of the brothers. You want to say it's not the father? You want to say it's the brothers as a unit in the shoes of their father? You also can formulate it like that, right? That's a little less extreme way. Of course, the father's dead. It's the brothers. But it's the brothers as a standard for their father. Right before they split up the Yerusha, there, as the Gemara says elsewhere, bra kara da avua. And therefore also, it's looked at as one person, and the father is still doing it on behalf of the children. Says the Gemara, 1 minute. Me'ata, if this is really true, that it goes by, as long as it's unified, it's like the father, and he's doing it on behalf of the children, and they're pater from the kelbon. Me'ata, afilu, why don't you go even further the other way? Afilu chilku v'chazu v'nishtatfu. So why don't you say, even if the brothers already split up the Yerusha, and then they became partners again, why don't you say it goes back to what it was? They put everything back in the same pot. Chayavin b'maiser behema. Why do you say even there they're chayavin b'maiser behema? Because what do you mean they're buyers? They're all children, they're brothers. They're children of the same father. Upaterm and akelbon. Why do you say that they're, you know, it's as if it went back to the earlier state? Vitanina, and we learned that's not true. Chayavin b'kelbon upaterm b'maiser behema. We learned it does not go back to the original state. Answers the Gemara, those two dots are a mistake. Rebbe ba b'shem abba baravuna. No. Once brothers take the Yerusha, and then they decide to have a partnership. So they're not brothers anymore in that partnership. They're like two strangers. Why should that be like? You're not going back in time. You're going to the next step in their financial reality. Hishnei achim sheyoshua zaviyin. Hishnei kisa sheyoshua zaviyin. It's just like two brothers getting together. Two brothers-in-law getting together. Meaning just once the two brothers get their portions and then they come back and partner it, so that does not go back in time. No, they are like two strangers that came together, and therefore it would be considered their own, and therefore you'd be pater from Maaser Behema, and you'd be chayiv in the kelbon. Peri. Stop there for a minute. We mentioned that had the animals been the rove, then the other assets would be pulled there, because you go hochanachar arov. That's how it would be defined. There are two principles that we have in the world of rove. Which one is being used here? We have, on the one hand, the principle called Holchanachar Arov. You go after the Rov, or Bittel Barov, right? It's Batel. Once a little item, a little milk falls into chicken soup, a little tray falls into enough kosher, Bittel Barov, or Holchanachar Arov. That's one halacha by Bezdin, right? Holchanachar Arov, 20-1-2 in a criminal crime, 2-1, right, in a monetary. Right? Hochanachar Arov, you go after the Rov. That's one halacha. But then you have another halacha called Rubo Kikulo. The whole is like the whole thing. Where do you have that? Let's say by Shechita. By Shechita, the halacha is if you shecht Rov Simanim. By an animal, you have to check Rov of the Simanim. Or by an oaf, Rov Echad. So what does that mean? Rubo Kikulo, you have to say Hochanachar Arov. Most of it shecht, that's good enough. No, the Gemara says they're Rubo Kikulo. Right, that's a different category by Shechita and by other issues. So what's the difference between the two? When do you apply Rubo Kikulo and when do you apply Hochanachar Arov? The Achronim discussed this based on a Rashi and the first daf in Sukkah. Rashi says that if you have more sun than shade in your Sukkah, batel b'miut. The shade is batel in the miut of this. It's batel. The shade is batel on the meat of the rove of the sun. Rubuk, right? That's Rashi's lashon. Rasha fisha miut batel barov v'harihu kemoshe eino. It's as if there is no shade. Right? So all the Achronim say that's rubuk kakulo. That's bittel. But is there bittel going on there? So Rav Achronim assume that Rashi can't mean that. Bittel is only by a mixture. There's no mixture here. I see shade. I see sun. That what Rashi must mean is the principle of Rubo Kikulo, not Bittel Barov, because Bittel Barov is only by a Taroves. So the Stipler there, the first Simon in Sukkah, and Simon Aleph discusses, so what's the rules? When do you apply Bittel Barov, and when do you apply Holchanachar Arov? So he has two suggestions. He says, number one, the concept of Bittul Barov means it's based on Achrei Rabam Lahatos. You follow the majority. Lo Shayach Ela Bedavar She'eno Mivurar. Something is not clear. You have an argument amongst judges. You have a mixture of sorts. That's something that's not clear. Therefore, you need Hol. But Ruba Kukulo, everything is perfectly clear. You see, this is Shechted and this is not Shechted. You see, Omim Ruba Laparitz. You look around a fence, Hilchas Eiravin, and you see what part has a wall around it, what part doesn't have a wall around it. Everything is perfectly clear. There's nothing not clear. You just have to count up. How much do you have of one thing? How much do you have of another thing? V'hasam geder acheri lugamrei. Doesn't mean that as a pun. Shaharei ha-miyut ha-bilti shachut nikar b'fnei atzmo. V'yafilu hachi amrin eruba kakulo. And it's learned that from a different pasuk, right? From Nazir. So that ruba kakulo means when you have to define something in a certain way. You have to look at one entity and define it as something. So if you look at the simanim, they're mostly shechted. You call this animal a shachut. If you look at it at an area that is mostly surrounded, you call it gadur. You call it omeid and not parutz. That's rubo kukulo, where everything is clear, but you have to define it in a certain way. But something that is, you know, two totally separate items, avodavrim nefradim nefradim, it's not one item they have to define, but it's two different items. So then lo shayach rubo kukulo. Dema inyin zel hazeh, achrei sheim dvarim nefradim, v'edem shayachim zel hazeh. So, said the disciples, what do you say here by that Rashi in Sukkah? You have to define the Sukkah. Is that what you say? You have to define the Sukkah. Is this a shaded Sukkah or is this not a shaded Sukkah? There's no mixture here. It's like the Shechita case. So that's what Rashi must mean, right? You have to define this as a shaded or an unshaded Sukkah. He says at the end, maybe there's another idea. It's not different. It's different, but it's not mutually exclusive. Another idea of Ruba Kukulo versus Bittul Barov says Ruba Kukulo is only when the miyut is mishune b'mitzius meharov, shehu mamish hefech harov, kagon rubo shachut umiyut eno shachut, rubo gazuz umiyut cyrus. When they're opposites, when you have opposites, that's when you have the principle of rubo kukula. But when the rov and the miyut are just different, they're not opposite each other. If you have, you know, kosher and not kosher, those they're halachically opposite. But lamaisa, they're not opposite. Chicken and pig, they're opposites from each other. Not opposites. So that's when you would use Holchin Achra Rov or Bittul Barov. You wouldn't use the principle of Rubo Kikulo. See, those are the two ideas that the disciple says. What about here? What about here? Defining his assets. Everything's clear. So here, Lachora, it's the principle of Rubo Kikulo. Right? You define the person's assets. If most of his assets are animals and the animals were split up, so then you'd have to say his assets are split up and therefore, or the opposite, not split up. And it's still like the father's, even though the money was split up, and therefore they'd be putter from Kelbone. Okay, last section of the first parak in Shkalim. Says the Gemara, La'echan hayu ha-kelbonos noflin. So where do the kelbonos go? We don't machza shekel. They go to, we said, the Karbanos Sibur. So where do the kelbonos go? Rabbi Meir omer l'shkalim. Rabbi Meir says the same place where the shkalim go, the kelbonos have to go. The Tiklin Chavetz says this is Rabbi Meir l'shitaso. Rabbi Meir who holds that giving a kelbon is part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of shkalim says that it goes to the same result, the same place that shkalim go. Rabbi Lezer omer l'nedava. No, Rabbi Lezer says no. It's a din d'rabbanan. It goes to nedava, meaning goes into the pushka to bring karbanos when the mizbeach is quiet, when it's a slow day in the middle of the summer, nobody's there. You don't want the mizbeach to have nothing on it, so you go to bring olas nedava. Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer Rikua. They use it for a special purpose. Rikua zahav v'tzipui lebeis kodesh hakadoshim. They used it to line the inside, the golden plates of the inside of the kodesh kadoshim. That's what they used it for. Wow. That's pretty special. That relates to what we mentioned yesterday, 2 days ago. I think it was yesterday. When we spoke about what's the message, the hashkafic message of kelbone? Don't just do what you have to do. Go a little further. Do a little more. A little mesiras nefesh. Right? Even in this mitzvah that everybody has to do equally, so everybody do a little more. Kelbone reflects the extra, the little nofach mishelanu that we have to add on. So maybe that's very special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it goes straight into the Kodesh Kodashim. That's why it's the golden plates. How often did they go into the Kodesh Kodashim? Right, they built it the first time. How often did they go in? The Rambam says not so often. right? Based on Mishnayos. But the Rambam says they went in very, very, very not often to check what the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He looks around, maybe. He looks around for a minute to see if any of the tiles are falling off, any of the gold is a little chipped. That's when they went in. That's when but he probably doesn't get too much of a... he has other things on his mind. He's very pressured. He's in the middle of doing the hardest avodah of the year, right? Avodah kasha shebe mikdash, holding the heavy shovel and the ketores, and he doesn't want to think about if he does it wrong, right? And all of Chai Yisrael are waiting outside with bated breath. Is he going to come out? He might not have time to look around and see if anything needs improvement. So the Rambam says, the last Rambam in the seventh parak, Vilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam says that there was an aliyah. There was a second floor on top of the Kodesh Kodashim. Makom Shahaya ba'aliyah mechuvan. We had this back in Pesachim, I think, earlier. Right? That what was the holiest place? We had the different levels. And the attic on top of the Kodesh Kodashim was even more chamor. Right? Einechnasin lo ela pamachas b'shavua. Went in once every, not a week, once every 7 years. B'shavua. Leida mahu tzarech l'chazek b'tko. Right? To know exactly what was needed. Let's say, the Kohen Gadol went in and he saw a dead insect in there. Maybe he wouldn't take it out right then, but he'll tell somebody, we gotta get that out. So whenever there's a need, mitzvah, so you go in, mitzvah shiyuha nechnasin ha-kohanim tmimim. Right? L'chadchila, you should find a Kohen handyman to go into, and a tamim, not a balmum. Kohen handyman, that's the best to do. Lo matzu tmimim, yikatsu balimumim. If need be, im a kohen balmum, im ein shem kohanim, you call to levim. Okay, levim have second strike. A levi handyman, lo matzah levim, you call to Yisrael. Then Yisraelim could go in. Mitzvah b'tahorim, but it's better to have tar people go in. Lo matzah tarim, you call to tameim. So a tamei Yisrael is allowed to go in if you're going down the hierarchy. Tameu balmum, which is better. A tamei or balmum, yikanez balmum, val yikanez tamei shatuma dechuyah b'tzibur. Whoever goes in are lowered in boxes. So you're only able to see certain areas of the walls at once. You don't just see it all together. There's a little window in the box, and you're rotated, and you look around to see what you can find. You can have a Tamei Yisrael walk in straight to the Kodesh Kodashim. That's the final, lowest choice. But other than that, we try L'chadchila to use, again, if the first step is a Kohen Balmum. Okay, this is the Rambam at the end of Perek Zayin. First we're going to talk about it, but that is, it says, according to one opinion, they use the Kelbonos to make the gold for this. We continue. Ben Azai Omer, Shulchan Hayinot L'Nosan B'Sharah. No, the money changers used to take it for their payment, working in the Beis HaMikdash. V'yesh Omer Motzah Asrachim. And some say it was used for the expenses, travel expenses. Whose travel expenses? The Tekken Chadatin has 2 days. Either it means the travel expenses of the Ole Regalim, at least the people who are bringing the Shkalim, or for the money changers, right? You paid for their travel expenses. Okay, either way. Hadrolach Perak Bechad Ba'adar. So Bechad Ba'adar is done. Halacha Aleph. Next Mishtex Perak. Mitzarfin Shkalim L'Darkonos. We are allowed to combine Shkalim, which are silver pieces, L'Darkonos into gold pieces. Right, because it's going to be too much of a schlep. If you gave Shkalim to the Batei Dinim throughout Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to be too much of a schlep. So you'll have to make them into more expensive items. So you don't have to schlep them. Right? You can make them into, and then you can deal with them more when you get to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Even though once you get to the Beis HaMikdash, the Tiferes Yisrael says, the Chiddush is, they're going to again have to separate them, to be porate them, because you know you need the money changers' services anyway. But here, to bring all the shkalim of all the Jews from all over the world, you know it's a little difficult. So that's why you're allowed to make it into more expensive or a higher level of currency. Kishem shayu shofaros by mikdash, just like there were shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash, kachayu shofaros by Medina, just like there were collections in the Beis HaMikdash, so too there were collections in the Medina. In the Medina, why is it called a shofar? Why is it called a shofar? So Rashi says, because you're worried about people putting their hand in and trying to take. So the top of the pushka was small, so you couldn't get your hand in, but you could put the money in, and at the bottom it was wide. That's why it was called a shofar. Yeah, what would you say? It was something else that about shofaros.
That's why they call things Karen today.
Oh, right. That's exactly why stock organizations are called Karen today. Karen this, Karen that. Because Karen is also a shofar. Right? It comes from the shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash here. So just like there were shofaros in the Mikdash, because, and we know why now, kachayu shofaros b'medina. So too there were shofaros in the Medina. And remember, this is the second time we had this. Already in the Masechta. What does Mikdash mean? Well, what does Medina mean? According to Rashi and Tosfos and Rov Rishonim and elsewhere in Shas, Mikdash here means Beis HaMikdash. Medina means Yerushalayim. So, according to this, you had to bring it to Yerushalayim. There weren't collections, specific shofaros, outside of Yerushalayim. But according to the Rambam, if you remember, Mikdash means Yerushalayim, Medina means outside of Yerushalayim. Right? So, according to the Rambam, it was much easier. In all the cities, they had shofaros to collect the shkalim. Rav Soloveitchik writes that it's interesting that where the Rambam gets this from probably is because the phraseology of the Torah is that the Torah uses Lifnei Hashem in three different ways. Three different ways. Sometimes Lifnei Hashem is used regarding the entire city of Yerushalayim. V'yachalto Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Ma'asar Degancha, right, talking about Kashi Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni, right, eat it Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. That's one pasuk. Sometimes Lifnei Hashem means Harabayis. Says Rav Soloveitchik, V'chatzotzros v'kol shofar hariyu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Zayin says, they blew shofar and chatzotzros on Harabayis. So you see Lifnei Hashem meaning Harabayis. And sometimes you find Lifnei Hashem meaning the Azara. Says the beginning of Vayikra, V'shachat is ben abakar Lifnei Hashem. It's Lifnei Hashem. So, says Rav Soloveitchik, Lifnei Hashem are all of them, but what do you see from there? Because the entire Eretz Yisrael, or at least the entire Yerushalayim, all that Kedusha radiates from the Beis HaMikdash and from the center. It goes from the Kodesh Kadashim and out. That's where the Kedusha radiates from. That is why they're all called Lifnei Hashem in a sense. He also, Soloveitchik also said, maybe that's the Pshat of the Rambam. I didn't bring it, but I just thought of it now, that the Rambam that says in Hilchas Beis HaBechira also, oh, I have it, that what's the difference between Kitcha Rishona and Kitcha Shnia? Kitcha Rishona, we know, was Kitcha L'Shaita below Kitcha L'Aselavo, and the second Kedusha of Ezra was eternal. What's the difference? The Rambam says the difference was Kibush and Chazaka. On the way in, the first one was Kibush, they conquered. So once you, if it's based on conquering, so then you can undo the conquering. The second one was based on settlement, on chazaka. And settlement, that stays forever. What's the pshat? So many different pshat are given. But one, the Rav Soloveitchik also gave a few different pshat. But one time he said, the difference was, by kibush, what was the kedusha from? It was as they went in. That's one type of kedusha. By the second one, the Aron was already there. It wasn't in the Kodesh Kodashim. It was buried, as we know in Bayis Sheni, but it was already there. And the Kedusha was from Beis HaMikdash. That's what they started with. And then it radiated out. Right? Half the Jews weren't there. Most of the Jews weren't even there when they were building and when it was completed. So it was Kedusha radiated out. That type of Kedusha stays eternally because that flows from the Beis HaMikdash out, not from outside in. So again, that all relates to the Machlokas Rambam and other Rishonim about Mikdash and Medina. We continue. B'nei ha'ir sheshalchu shikleihem. B'nignivu sha'avdu. What happens if people, b'nei ha'ir, sent their shkalim and it was stolen? Or it was lost on the way? It was stolen or lost. Then what's the halacha? Who's responsible? So, the Mishnah says it depends. Ibn Nistruma ha'truma. If at the moment it was stolen, the Trumas HaLishkat had already been done. Remember what we said? We said the Shkalim are collected, and three times a year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and before Shavuos, and before Sukkot, they take from those Shkalim, and they start buying animals with it. So, if they have already done the Truma before it was stolen or lost, so then it's as if, as we said, when the Truma is done, it's done with all of Klal Yisrael in mind. Even the money that's on the way, and even the money that wasn't collected yet. So it's as if, right when the Truma is done, all the money, wherever it is, becomes Shel Beis HaMikdash. It's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, because they have them in mind. So if it's Shel Beis HaMikdash, then the owners are not responsible to replenish. So what's the halacha? Nishban leGizbarin. So the Shlichim just swear to the Gizbarin, we lost it, it wasn't our fault, it was stolen. And everybody's potter off the hook. The imlav, but if it was stolen or lost before the truma was done, so then it was as if it was stolen from the hands of the balabatim, Right, it was the people, the Mishalchim. So therefore, Nishbon le Bnei Ha'ir, they have to go back and swear to the Bnei Ha'ir that it was stolen or lost. U'Bnei Ha'ir, Shoklin Shoklein Tachtayan. They gotta send new ones. Right, it's the, as long as the Shomer wasn't negligent, but they have to give new ones. Nimsu, what happens if it was they were found afterwards? Oshehech Zirim HaGanavim, or the Ganavim gave them back. So then, Elu ve'Elu Shkalim, they're both Shkalim. We'll see in the Gemara what happens to both of them. You can't say, you know what, keep this one for next year. Give me a credit. Give me a credit for the following year. It doesn't work. They're both used for this year. We'll see exactly what they are used for. It's a fascinating diuk that the Pesher Dover has. Pesher Dover is this line of Shkolim that I have. Pesher was written by a Rav. He was a Rav. He was a Rebbe in Hank for 30 years. Rav Yaakov Well. Then he went to Lakewood, but he wrote an unbelievable commentary here on Shkalim. It's like a Kahati on Shkalim, and then he has Pirish. He says, he quotes other Achronim that say, why is it? It says, if it was stolen or it was lost, da-da-dat. And then what did the next line of Mishnah say? If it was found or they returned the Gneva. It's not parallel. First it says it was if it was stolen or it was lost. And then the next line says, but if it was found, it should be parallel. It's like another returned it or it was found. Why does the order switch? So he says, Diakal, he says, because it's more common for things to be stolen than for a guy to lose his wallet. So that's why it says stolen first. But on the other hand, it's more common to find something than for the Ganavim to come and fess up. That's why it says Nimsu first, number one. Number, it's an unbelievable Diak. Just to catch that Diak is amazing. Number two, he says, why doesn't it just say that the Ganavim were caught? Why does it say that the Ganavim returned it? So he said, because if the Ganavim were caught, you would never know that these were the same exact Shkalim. Maybe they use the money, and these are different shkalim. It's only if they're doing tshuva. They're doing tshuva, and they say, you know what, we stole it, these are the shkalim, then we can trust them. They're doing tshuva, then we can know that they're the exact same shkalim. But if not, if you just say that they were caught, so then it wouldn't be good enough. Those are the two diukim in the Mishnah, why the change of order, and why the pesher davar. Rather, why the change of order, and why it says hechzirim, not so bali tshuva, and not the opposite. Right, his two commentaries, he has one called the Zakan Aaron and one on the Pesher Dover. Right, one's named after his father, one's named after his mother. Either way, Rabbi Yaakov Vail. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, the Yasuo son Margolios, why do you make them the silver into gold? Just make them into pearls. That's even more expensive. You have to carry less pearls. Says the Gemara, no, Shemet Tazil Margolios. Maybe pearls are going to go down in value, the market value. Vinipsa Hektish Mafsid. Maybe it's going to go down. Gold is gold, silver is silver. Right, that's inherent monetary objects. But anything that's shavek kesef has the possibility of going down, and therefore you don't want to use even pearls. Kahi detaninan taman, like we learned elsewhere in Maseches Bechoros. Bekula niftin bekesef b'shavek kesef. Whenever you have to do a pidyon from hekdish, pidyon aben, you could use kesef or shavek kesef. Chutz mishkalim, shkalim, you're not allowed to use shavek kesef. V'ein poden bekelim, and you can't even use a kli. Why not? V'yomer Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Shema yazilu hakelim, v'nimsa hekdash mafsid. Maybe the kelim are going to go down in value, and then memela hekdash is going to lose. Of hachanami, says so too here, Shema tazel hamargolios, maybe the pearls are going to go down in value, v'nimsa hahekdash mafsid. And it comes out that hekdash is going to lose, and that is why you can't use pearls, you got to use something that is actual currency, you got to use gold. Period. Next step. Masnisa, the whole Mishnah is talking about a case of Tiklin Chadatin, where you're talking about new shkalim that are given before the whole question of swearing, it's shkalim that are given before the last truma was done. Avo, but Tiklin Atikin, but Tiklin shkalim that are sent in after the last shkalim, after the last truma was done, so then we say, lo bedav. Then these halachas do not apply. And that then meaning those are not collected outside in Medina. For those, if you're so late, you got to bring it to the Mikdash. V'tani kenem, you also have a brisa. Atikin b'mikdash v'ein atikin b'medina. Once you're so late, you got to come to the base of Mikdash to bring it. Only outside do we have, you know, allow you, when it's on time, you know, you can bring it outside. But once you're so late, you got to go. Right? Sometimes you have that, those services. Certain services are more easily available if you do it on time, if you do it early. But once it's late, then you have to just go to the real office. Okay. Next limit on the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah sound like? They swear, the shlichim swear that it was stolen or lost. Meaning, if it was stolen or lost, that they're going to be Pater. So what type of shomer are we talking about? Masisa b'shomer chinam. We seem to be talking about a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam who is only, right, a shomer that works for free, who's only chayiv in pshia. He's pater from Geneva and Aveda, and that's the Mishnah's talking about. Ava b'shomer sachar, but if you would have made a condition with this shliach that he is a shomer sachar, then lober that doesn't apply. Because then, who cares? He would swear he's still responsible. That's the first daya. Amar Rabbi Abba, no, v'afilu de Rabbi Shomer Sachar. The Mishnah could even be about a case where you made him into a Shomer Sachar. Why? There could be a case of Gneva Naveda of Ones. Nignevu Belista Mizuyim. It was stolen with armed robbers. That's called Ones. Avdu, and stolen, lost, Kamisha Tavas Finasa Bayam. Right? He lost it at sea, a totally unexpected occurrence. Right? So that's the today is what the Mishnah is talking about. If you look at the Rambam sounds like, that if the Bailam are always chayiv if they gave it to a Shomer Chinam. It was like, your fault. You gave it to a Shomer Chinam, because the Rambam doesn't even talk about it. The Rambam just says, in Hilchos Shkalim, which is interesting, maybe we'll get back to this later if we have time, Bez Hashem, where is Hilchos Shkalim if you try to find it? So you might go to the Rambam and take off the wrong Sefer. You might have gone and taken off a Sefer Avoda, or a Sefer Karbanos. It's not there. It's in Zmanim, just like it's in Moed. The Rambam copied Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Even though so much of Shkalim is about Kachim. Interesting lumdis, why that is. Not always important what the Rambam says, but how he says it and where he says it. So the fact that Shkalim is in Sefer Zmanim and not in Sefer Kachim gives it somewhat of independence in terms of not purely being for the Karbon, as the Hashem will get back to. But anyway, the Rambam says, Sholchu Ashikleim Biyad Shomer Sachar, Shahare Yuchai Begneva Veda, Ba'abdum Mimenu Ba'one, Zachulu. Rowan, you see if Nishrima Chumu or Lo Nishrima Chumu. And the Kesef Mishnah points out, he doesn't even talk about the Shomer Chinam case. Sounds like he's implying that you shouldn't do it. With the Shomer Chinam, you should always have it the higher level. Meaning, possibly like the second pshat of our Gemara. Period. Amr of Yosti, Bereb Simon, Asya command to Amr. And the whole Mishnah, that has the distinction between, well, it depends when Nitra Matruma. And what does the Mishnah say? If Nitra Matruma before the Geneva took place, so then they're Pater, because it's as if it was already belonging to the Beis HaMikdash already. So Asi Kamanda Amar, that fits with the opinion of Tarman Allah Gabi Vala Asid Ligvos. That when they take off Truma Salishka, when they take the Truma out, they have in mind all the people who it was collected from already, and even those who didn't have it collected yet, those that are going to be mafresh already tomorrow. Baram, Kemanda Amar, Ein Tarmin, Lo Ala Gabi, Velo Ala Asid Ligvos, but according to the other opinion, Lo Bada, the Mishnah does not apply. Because according to that opinion, until the Beis HaMikdash gets it, it doesn't count. And that's why it will always be considered owned by the Mishaleach, the Bnei Ha'ir, until it gets to the Beis HaMikdash. If you look in Rashi, there's an amazing Rashi, Rashi in Ksubis, not here, there is no Rashi. Rashi in Ksubis and Daf Kufches. Rashi says there, according to the opinion of Al Ha'asid Ligvos, even if it's never collected, even if a person never ends up giving the Shkalim, they still have a chelik in the Karban Sibur. That's Rashi on the Pshat of Al Ha'asid Ligvos, even if it's never collected, says Rashi. And Tosfos says there, what are you talking about? If it's never, Asid Ligvos doesn't mean that which will never be collected. Al Ha'asid Ligvos, that's Tosfos there in Ksubis, Anav Kufches, Amen Aleph. Tosfos there says, Pirish Bakutris afilu lo nigvil lo basof v'kasha lo rabbi chada dahavi lo lemisni v'alo asid ligvos v'sulo dahavi avid v'gavi v'sulo dahavi avid v'gavi klal v'chlal. Could have said an even bigger chiddush, right? So he says, I don't like Rashi. He has a couple of questions on Rashi, and therefore he argues and says, no, asid ligvos means it will be collected eventually. What's the pshat of Rashi? Rashi is a big chiddush. It's hard to know exactly, but what Rashi is definitely emphasizing is that there is another element of the mitzvah machzor shekel separate from contributing to the karbanos. Because here, this guy didn't contribute at all to the karbanos, and he still has a chelik in it. It's like he has a chovas gavra, he has a chiyuv to give, and if he had in mind to give, even if he didn't end up giving in the end, it's still good enough, because he's getting credit, even though he did not bring about the result. So some achronim say, the Mitzvah HaMelech says, maybe that's the Rambam's emphasis, and maybe Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's emphasis also, why it's in Moed, and why it's in Zmanim, and not in Karbanos HaAvodah. Definitely, it's not purely about contributing to the Karban. It's a Chovas Gavra. It's a Chovas Gavra that you have to give. We discussed this a little bit a couple of days ago, when we spoke about women. Right, as a chovas gavra, there might be different elements of the mitzvah. And therefore, even if somebody doesn't end up giving, maybe he still has, is included in an element. Okay, we continue. The Gemara here is answering a question which it does not ask explicitly. The question is, how do you make a shvua when it comes to this? We have a rule elsewhere. You can't swear on items that have to do with hektesh. So what happens here? So 2 days. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Dereb Shimon he, Dereb Shimon Omer, Kachim, Shuchayev Achrayusin, Kenachasavain. Reb Shimon holds that property, Kachim, that you are Chayev Achrayusin, are considered legally yours. So it's not considered Nishboin Alehek Deshos. Number one. Right, like elsewhere, like Rabbi Yosef Lili says, Kachik Kalam or Mammon, Mammon Hedio, Mammon Go, Machlokas, Rabbi Yosef Lili, another Tanoim. What do you consider Kachik Kalam? So here too. Kachim Shuchayev Achrayusin, they're like his nechasim. One day, Amar Reb Yochanan, no, Divrei Hakol, maybe it's even according to the everybody. Why? What are we talking about here? We're not talking about Shvuah Daraisa. We're talking about Shvuah Drabana, Mishin Shvuah Takana. What does that mean? So that the shlichim take their mission very seriously. You don't want the shlichim to be mezalzel and not take such great care of the shkalim. So that's why we make them swear. They're not going to be able to just get out of it and say, oh, Einish Bana Lakarkos. So it's a Shvud Rabbana. Shvud Rabbana can apply to anything. Right? Even according to the opinion that says, usually you don't swear. Einish Bana Lakarkos, Daraisa. But you can Darabana. So, Al Daiti Rabbi Yochanan Nicha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to the second opinion, I understand. If it's all a Din Darabana, then you have much more flexibility. I understand Nishman L'Gizbarin, V'yam Lam, Nishman L'Bnei O'ir, U'Bnei O'ir Shochan Achrayim Tachtayim. I understand according to Rabbi Yochanan that it's all a Shvud Rabbana, Mishum Shvud Takana. Elul Reb Lazer, but according to Reb Lazer, who says it's like Reb Shimon Shita, who says, you know what the Mishnah is going like? Because it's Kachin that you're Chayev Achrayis. So it's considered yours. Nishba'in Lebnei Ha'ir Hadihid Reb Shimon. I understand the first half. Or the second half. If this stealing took place before the Truma, so you have to swear to the people, so they have to give, they have to repay, to redo their Shkalim. So that part I understand. That's Kachim Shuchayev Achrayusan. Nishba'in LeGizbarin. What about the other half? Gizbar Mayav Detayu. But according to him, what are you swearing to the Gizbar for? They're not at fault. So what are you swearing? They're not going to have to repay anything. So what are you swearing to them for? That's a violation of Einish Bona Alehek Deshos. So answer the Gemara, no. You're right. You don't swear to the Gizbarin. Nishboin Lebnei Ha'ir Bimamad HaGizbarin. You swear to the Bnei Ha'ir with the Gizbarin there. You're right. They're not going to have to repay. But you swear to them, why? And still, it's still not considered a nishban alak deishos. Why? Kihele shvua is there. Kihele delo lechshadinu. So they're not chashin. They're swearing in front of these important people. They're not chashin that they did anything with it. Inami that they stole it themselves. Inami delo nishvulu poshim that they weren't negligent with it. That's why they swear. But it sounds like at this day, though, it's still a daraisa shvua. Right, it's sort of talking about the first day. Unless you say he agrees that this shvua is shvua takana, sounds like the rabbanan. But this day is holding that the other half shvu is a daraisa. Either way, it's an open question. Period. Going back to the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it is a shvua derabanan to make sure people take it seriously. Afal pisha kiblu bnei ha'ir l'shalem. This is even if the bnei ha'ir accepted on themselves to pay, even if they wouldn't take a shvua, we still make them take a shvua. Ein hektesh yosi below shvua. We want people to take it seriously, and even if they would agree, no, you don't have to take a shvua, we say you have to take a shvua. Shvua derabana to make sure it's serious. Fine. Next machlokas. Hifrishik lo va'avad. What happens if a person is mafrish his shekel, and before he even lets it out of his house, it got lost? He put it on the dresser, his shkalim, and then it got lost. Is he responsible? Rabbi Yochanan amar chai bach reyuso. Achim Serena Lagizbar, yes, until you gave it to the Gizbar, you're Chayev Achrayis. You gotta give another one. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omer, no. Hektish Birshus HaGavoa B'chol Makom Shehu. Wow. Wherever Hektish is, it's a Rishus Hektish. And therefore, right when you gave it, it's a Rishus Hektish. Got lost, I'm sorry, Hektish. Says the Gemara, Masnisa, Pligar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. The Mishnah is against Rish Lakish. Right, because what is the Mishnah has the distinction. Whether it's before the stealing happens, before or after. But according to one of the situations, it still belongs to the person, and they have to repay. Right? What does the Mishnah say? Nishban lebnei ha'ir, b'nei ha'ir shoklan tachtayan. So you see that it's the Mishnah against Reish Lakish. Says the Gemara, no. Lo od hi mishim shvuas tagana. Didn't we already say that's a din derabanan? On a daraisa level, Reish Lakish is saying it all belongs to the mikdash. But on a derabanan level, he said you still have to swear. What's the nekudas amachlokas? The svara. Reish Lakish of Yochanan, as I saw one of the achronim suggest, maybe it's about our issue. How much is shkalim achovas gavra? How much is it purely to produce the karbanos? The more it's a chovas gabra, the more, right? When you did it, you separated it, you did it. And something happens to it, okay, something happens to it. But the more you say it's connected to the carbon, obviously, then it's, if it's in your house, nothing happened yet. Tani, harishonim noflin tikkun chalatin vashniyim noflin tikkun atikin. Remember, if you lost it and you sent it, then it was found, or the ganavim came back. So what do you do with them? So it says, the first ones fall to the new shkalim, and the second one falls to the old shkalim. Old shkalim means shkalim that you have to wait until, let's say you bring shkalim after the third truma. Then you have to wait until next year, and these will be shiraim, and they'll be used for the old ones. You can't use this for the next year, and you can't use this for this year, because the truma is already done. Eloin arishonim eloin ashniyim. So which ones are which? So Rabbi Pincha, meaning the ones that you originally sent, or the ones that were sent because you lost them. Rabbi Pinchas Bey, Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Abba Mari, Chad Amar Elo Sheshalcha Bnei Yair Tchila, V'charano Amar Elo Shegila Degiz Baran Tchila. Okay, Machlokes, exactly which ones are the, considered the new ones, which ones are considered the old one. Very interesting Machlokes here between the Rambam and the Raivin. It's so fascinating that you don't know what the Machlokes is. The Rambam says, what do we hold in this case? We have the old one and the new ones. The Rambam says, Gimel Tes. Yesh Misha Omer Shashkalam Harishonim Sheyiplo Shikli Hashanahim Hashkalam Shenignuvu Tchila. V'avdu Onetzu V'chazru. V'yesh Misha Omer Shashkalam Harishonim Shegilu Diagizbar Tchila. That's the Rambam. Sounds like the Shulchan Aruch. Sounds like the Rambam. The Rambam says, Yesh Misha Omer V'yesh Misha Omer. That's the Rambam doing, according to opinions. Okay, that's one something unusual. The Raivid. Amar Avram B'Yerushalmi Machlokas Amoraim. Period. What's the Rambam talking about? What's the Raivid talking about? Is the Raivid arguing here? He's just giving you a mar makom. What's going on here? So the Yar Sameach says, oh, you need the Yar Sameach here to tell you what's going on. Says the Meir Simcha, no. The Raivid's asking a question, as he always does. Why? Because if you look in Meseches Yuma, on Daf Samach Beis, there's another machlokas. And that is, what if your mafish your carbon Pesach? And it got lost, and then you find, which one do you do first? There's a machlokas, and the Rambam Paskin's one way. So that's what the Rav is asking. Why are you quoting here both opinions? It's a similar machlokas to Psachim, and there's a steamer. You're passing like one of the opinions over there. So why the Rambam says both opinions here? Unclear. But what the Rav's problem with the Rambam is that, l'shitaso, it is, he thinks the same machlokas should apply. Okay. Vayta. Says the Mishnah, Nosin Shiklo L'chaveiro L'shkal Al Yado, Reuven gives Shimon a shekel. Please taste the shekel for me. To be shokel for me. V'shikla de'atzmo. Reuven gives Shimon a shekel, and then Shimon, the trickster, takes the shekel and uses it for himself, instead of using it for the one who gave it to him. So, imnitshama hatruma ma'al. The halacha is that when does Shimon violate the isser of mi'ila? When the truma is taken out. Nitshama truma. Because up until that point, it goes from hektesh to hektesh. There's no mi'ila. Mi'ila is only when it's yotzei. It changes a status. So by nitra matruma, you're going to use that money to buy karbanos. So if nitra matruma, right when the truma is done, that's when it is, he is ma'al. Right? The Tiklan Chadin explains that, lefisha ein mi'ila ela b'motzi min ha'hektesh l'chulin. Ava b'motzi min ha'hektesh l'hektesh.
Right, so this is called a ma'isa. Right, you were ma'al in that circumstance. Case number one. Next case.
What happens if you have hektish money that you've already designated, and then by mistake you use that for your shkalim? Right, you gave shkalim to use for bedek abayis. You designated it a month ago, and now you use that for shkalim. So v'nitcher matruma v'karba behema ma'al. So then, right when the behema is hukrav, there is me'ila there. The Bar Tanura here says, the ratio also means that. That's when you're ultimately violates Me'ila, when the carbon is brought. But if you look in the Mishnah Pashtus, and the Tiklan Chadin quotes the Vilna Gaon here, quotes his Rebbe. Sounds like in the first case, you violate right when Truma Salishka takes place. The second case, you need further than that. The second case, you need the actual animal to be Hukraf. What's the difference? See, he talks there, getting into details of Hilchas Me'ila. By Me'ila, the rules are, if something depreciates over time, mi'ila only applies once it depreciates. If something doesn't depreciate, it stays the same, so then you violate mi'ila right when you get benefit from it. So in the first case, money to money, money doesn't depreciate. Money to money, so right when you switch the money, so you're violating the mi'ila. Mashenkein, where you're using it as, it's already hektish, it's already yours. And you're switching it, so now it's only when you have the carbon, and now you're poging, rather something is a depreciation now in the value of the animal, so that's when you would violate me'ila. That's the gra, you can look at it in the
Tiklum Chadatin. Mi Maiser Sheni Midbei Shmias. What's if by mistake you use Maiser Sheni money or Shmita money to bring your machzah shekel? Yochol Kenegdon. So you have to say wherever they are, you know, should be chal on this new money in my house. You should have to switch the kedusha as the Gemara is going to explain. Weiter. Hashoka v'chulu anan taninim karva behima. Our Mishnah said that if the animal is kukrav, that's when we say that he violates Me'ilah. V'tani debay Rebbe imnishrama truma. But we have a brisa that says even in that case, it goes by trumas alishka. Skip the parentheses. Man tana in Mishra Mahatruma, who is our Mishnah going, who is the Brisa going like in Mishra Mahatruma? Rabbi Shimon he. That's Rabbi Shimon. To Amar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, what Rabbi Shimon says, Miyad Hayamakaba Ma'osa Vakonim Zrizim Heim. What is that referring to? It's a source later on. The Mishnah later on says that whenever the Beis HaMikdash worked out to be supplied with any supplies, wine, flour, so they always arranged that they paid these people, these suppliers. The suppliers gave them the produce, but the money wasn't fully the suppliers until the Beis HaMikdash used the flour, the wine, v'chulu. Just in case something would become rotty or bad before they used it, the onus of expense would be on the suppliers and not on the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Tanna Kamma holds. Reb Shimon argues on that. Reb Shimon says, no, they would use it right away. Konim Zrizim Heim. They wouldn't let it sit on the shelf for so long. And therefore, the money automatically becomes of the suppliers immediately. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Nitra Matruma, and they're going to buy the animals right away. That's why you violate Mila right away. Because according to him, the money is going to switch hands and become Chulin right away. Period. Says the Gemara next, Vakasha. Now we're going back to the question on the first half of the Mishnah. Elo, where you use somebody else's shekel. Reuven gives it to Shimon, and Shimon uses it for himself. Elo, Hagoni, Bolaso, Shachavero. What happens if I stole an Ola of my friends? Vishachtu, Stam, and I shechted it. Stam, Alola, Shem, Bailam, or Ishodim, Mechaperis? Isn't it automatically the first owner's? Shimon thinks Shimon steals Reuven's Ola and shechs it. It works for Reuven. Doesn't work for Shimon. It's Reuven's carbon, so why here too? If it's Reuven's shekel, why shouldn't it automatically work for Reuven? So I'm Rabbi Yudan Tipater Bimisuyam. The case is where, when Shimon gave the shekel, he made it very clear that it was for his own. Like what? Mash Michel, based Rabbi Gamliel, like the house of Rabbi Gamliel used to do. Shemiskavin v'doch v'lotoch ha'kupa. They didn't give the shekel earlier. They waited till right before the Trumas HaLishka, and right before the Kohen was about to do it, they threw it in on top to make sure that theirs were used. So it was clearly, and the guys and the Gizbar saw that, so he had Rabbi Gamaliel in mind. So that's what happened here. That's why it can't be Reuven's. Aye, the Chash Lomar, Shemalishi Ryan, hey, no flim. Another question. How could you say they're automatically going to violate Me'ilah? Maybe their Shkalim will be left in the, will be some, there's always left in the, in the pile at the end, even after all three. Maybe it'll be left. V'chiyesh Me'ilah Bishirayim? Is there Me'ilah? Elik Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer Mo'alim Bishirayim. Rabbi Meir is the only one that holds Mo'alim Bishirayim. Should we say that's the Tana of our Mishnah? Skamar says no. We already said, based on the next line of the Mishnah, Od he b'misuyam. Shalbez Rabbi Gamliel, Hashayim Miskavin, V'tam Olishmo. We already said that it's not going to be Shirayim here, because we're talking about a guy who's going to throw it right before the Shuma is taking place on top. So that's why, you're right, Shirayim wouldn't violate Me'ilah, but here we're talking about a case where it would Vada be used. Period. Manene, ask the Gemara, for Me'ilah, as we said, you need Hana'a. What Hana'a, what benefit are you getting when you use somebody else's shekel? Amar b'yavin b'shem Rabbanon, d'taman, the Rabbanon from there, here in the Yerushalmi when it says Hasam, it means Bavel. Mikivan shebezdin ru'uyin l'mashkin v'lo mishkino kamosha nene. Because Bezdin is not going to take security from you, that's a benefit. It's a benefit that you gave, and Bezdin is not going to come to take things from you, to seize things from you. Right? The big sugya of mitzvos lav lahenos nidnu. We had a daf be'in shir about it a couple of months ago, back in Meseches. Where do we have it? Towards the end of Kadsha. Mimaiser sheni v'chulu.
I said they just have to give the
shekel. So do you say right? So why did the Mishnah just say he saved a shekel? Save the shekel. So maybe that's not positive enough me'ilah. Saving a shekel, that might not be good enough, right? It's looking in areas of Hana, like marriage and elsewhere, to see if that's good enough, right? But here it says that not mamashkin is something more serious than that saving, not having to give something, is less Hana, it sounds like from the Gemara, than not having your property seized. Mimaiser Sheni Vechulu, Dechsiv. Why can't you give from Maiser Sheni and Shvias? Dechsiv, Asher Ach Bachar Sheni Vukar Lashem Bibahima, Lo Yakdesh is also, Kol Shu Kodesh in Kedusha Chalolav. Something that already is Kodesh, you cannot make Kadosh again. So what do you do in these cases? Maybe sell a shalchulin. V'yomer, most ma'aser sheni b'chol makam shehein, yom uchulal and I'll sell a zeh. Wherever the ma'aser sheni kedusha is, should be chal on this money. V'yosef sell a nitmas l'shem ma'aser sheni, and that money becomes ma'aser sheni, v'ashar nasu shkalim. And everything else that was wherever it is in the base of Migdash can now be used, it's chulin, which could become shkalim. Okay, we'll stop here. We will continue now in the second parak of shkalim in the coming days.